a series of messages on Psalm 138, and I called it A Time to Cry Out in Psalm 138. And I got to give you a little bit of background. If you come on Sunday nights and you've heard me during the month of March, you kind of know, and this will be review for you, but maybe you haven't been there as I've been talking about Psalm 138. But Psalm 138 is a time to cry out. And we started out by looking at, as we read through the Word of God, that there are some times where as we approach our life and our relationship to the Lord, there is a time to be silent, a time to be quiet, to bring our petitions before the Lord in a personal way, as we see in Psalm 137. But then followed up in Psalm 138, we see that there are times that God is doing amazing things in our life, and the only appropriate response is to cry out in praise to the Lord for the good things that He has done. And as we looked at this psalm, we saw that God was faithful to David in so many ways. And what he had to do was to cry out in praise to the Lord for the great things that he had done. We looked in his life at times like as he faced Goliath, the story that we've heard from Sunday school, and what God did in his life and how he had victory over that giant. We looked in his life at some stories that maybe we aren't so familiar with, like when Saul had David come in before his throne on separate occasions and took a javelin in his hand and threw it at David to try and kill him as he faced that enemy. As he ran away from Saul and from the nation of Israel and ended up in Gath, the very place where Goliath was from, and had to pretend and fake insanity. And one of the most interesting places in the Bible, as you read it and you try to put yourself in David's perspective, as he was in the camp of the Philistines at Gath, and he scratches on the door, and as the scriptures say, let the spittle run down his beard. Isn't that like a very, you can picture that, you can see that, and you can try and put yourself in David's shoes and what he had to go through, and I wouldn't want to go through what David went through, what he had, as he had to fake that, and had to pretend insanity, and just that sounds awful. And as he was, and lastly, what we looked at as we were looking at the past things that God had done and shown himself faithful for, is we looked at Engedi. We took a trip to a place in the Bible called Engedi. Some of you guys said, came up to me after we talked about that, and they said, I never even heard of Engedi in the scriptures. And we talked about how that was the place where David hid from King Saul, as Saul was chasing him through the wilderness. And he ended up living in caves, and Saul ended up in the same cave as David. And David took his knife and cut off a piece of Saul's robe and had a confrontation with King Saul. And we saw that in all of those times, God was faithful to David. And what David had to do is cry out in praise to the Lord. We took a little trip to Engedi and we watched a video. And if you missed it, but you're saying, Engedi, I have no idea what you're talking about, what that looks like. We were encouraged and we were blessed as we took a little bit of a video trip to Engedi. And we got to see this place. It's called the place where the goat's feet lie. And it's this place with this hill, this wilderness hillside with these caves, and tucked into the middle of that is this valley oasis with a beautiful waterfall, the place where the goats regularly come down to water themselves in this beautiful little sanctuary in the middle of the wilderness. And I don't know what you're going through today or what you are looking forward to in your life, or where you're at now, but maybe you are in the wilderness of your life. Maybe a physical problem, family problem, a hurt, a pain, the loss of a loved one, something that you don't know if you can bear. Maybe you have an enemy that is breathing down your neck and you are afraid to face it. Know that in the midst of those things, God is faithful and He has a spiritual or a physical oasis prepared for you and in Gedi in your life. And if you, like David, follow Him and search for Him with all of your heart and love Him, you will find that in the midst of those tough times in life, God has prepared a sanctuary for you and a place where you can run to during the tough times of life. And it's those things in life, as God, as spiritual friends, and those around us come and they encourage us to face the trials of life and to go to the Lord in prayer and to go to the Scriptures and find them faithful, that we find bravery to face the next trials that God is going to lead us into. I remember being, I think, about 14. I don't remember the exact age. But I know one thing about myself. I don't like new things. I don't like them at all. I am very comfortable where I am in my life. And when something new comes in, it gets me apprehensive. And there are some new things that I just don't want to try. Sometimes that's food, like new food, and I just don't want to put it in my mouth. My wife will attest to that. She's gotten me to eat a lot of things that I didn't ever want to put in my mouth. But I remember being about 14. There was something that I didn't like, and I didn't want to try. And that was a roller coaster. I looked up at those things, and I said, nope, not for me. Watch people spin around, and I have a cousin. His name's Scott. It's true. My cousin's name is Scott. Very original family I have. We have lots of Dorises and Scotts and Davids in my family. There's not too many original names, but my cousin Scott used to love to ride roller coasters. He was a fanatic. Whenever I go over, his room had posters and he had like a journal. I rode this roller coaster 17 times and it's the best one ever. I don't understand it. I don't want to. And one day I went down to North Carolina to see my aunt and uncle and cousins. And this was on my mother's side. And my mother, you know, she's not the tallest lady. But that's all depends upon your perspective. Because in my mother's family, in the women, she's a giant. But if you've ever met her sisters or her nieces, she's a tall lady compared to them. So my mother, she's doing pretty good if she cracks 5 foot. But my cousin Kelly and my cousin Jennifer, they're shorter than my mother by a couple of inches. And so they wanted to take me to the amusement park. They were a couple years old, and I said, all right, I'll go. There's one thing I'm not doing. Riding a roller coaster. And so we got there to this amusement park, and they took me and they put me in line, and we were walking up the line and following through, and I said, I'm not going to ride on the roller. They said, yeah, you are. I said, no, I'm not. So they convinced me to stay in line with them. And so I stood in line with them, and we got up to about the end, and I said, okay, I'm leaving. I'm not going to ride this roller coaster. And my cousin Kelly stood there, and she, remember, she's about this tall. And she put her hands on her hips, and she looked up at me and she said, you walked this far, you're not leaving, you're riding this roller coaster. I said, yes, ma'am. I was in the south. I was down south, so I had to say yes, ma'am, right? And so I said, yes, ma'am. And I got in there, and I remember, I said, I'm going to hate this. I loved it. Oh, that was the most wonderful experience. And for the next 5 years of my life, anytime somebody said, you want to go to an amusement park and ride a roller coaster? I said, yes! Until I got to be 35. Then I got on one of those running roller coasters. I got off, my head hurt, and I said, why did I like that when I was 20? That's painful. But anyways, when I think about the Christian life, I was looking out on a table, and there's got to be a point to that, because that's a nice story and everything. But there has to be a point, and it has to come to the Word of God and the Scriptures, and it has to mean something in the context of Psalm 138. I was looking at a table out there yesterday, and I picked up a periodical that Pastor Baker had put on the table. And on the cover was the face of Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of Voice of the Martyrs. His book, Tortured for Christ, made a big difference in my life. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to teach a Bible class every year. Begin my day with Bible class. And then I can get on to the things that don't matter as much, like math and science. But I start my day with Bible class. And in teaching that, I've had many, many times where I've had book reports, where I've had kids that what they've had to read is that book. And I think about what he had to go through for Christ. And me being a person who doesn't like new things, I wonder, in and of myself, would I be able to endure something like that for Christ? And we could talk about it on the extreme. Being put in prison, tortured, beaten for Jesus Christ. Would we be able to endure that? And none of us look forward to that. But also we could put that into today's life. As maybe, like I said, like I just talked about, we find out that the journey that we're going to face in our near future is going to be cancer. It's going to be encountering an enemy like David did. A family broken and falling apart. And as we face those things in life, as we face the future, we need the Holy Spirit standing there like my little cousin with her hands on her hips saying, you'll do that and you're going to like it. And the Holy Spirit will be with us the whole thing. And if we know that in the past, God is faithful to get us through those things that seem intimidating, that drive us to fear, that we don't know if we want to do that. Even the apprehension that comes with someone that you love, that you want to share your faith with, but you don't know if you have the courage to do it. If you know that God is faithful, you can endure all those things. And let's read Psalm 138. Let's take a look at some things here. It says in Psalm 138 and verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the words of the works of your hands. So as we look at this, as we think about the future, God has been faithful to us in the past. And once we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, as we face the future, we know that whatever is coming, we can endure it because of the Lord. The first thing I want to have us take a look at and think about in this passage of Scripture, it says, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. As I look at this passage and we think about the future, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. When I think about that, I can't wait for the day when the kings of the earth, who think that they are in control, when the devil himself, who realizes that Jesus Christ is ultimately in control of this whole world, and all nations, all tongues, all tribes will give praise and glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ. I can't wait for that. When the people, the proud of this world, are brought low and give praise to the glory of our Lord. Today, I give praise to God because I have seen His work, and I know that He is faithful. I know that He will be faithful until the end. So I cannot wait. I long for the day that I will see all kings praise the name of the Lord. I think about what we read in Philippians chapter 2, where one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one that I've committed to memory, and I'd encourage you to commit it to memory also, where it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how after he is resurrected, that he was lifted up on high, and all tongues will give glory to God the Father. He lowered himself. He humbled himself. He was up in heaven at the right hand of God the Father and said, this place, this high and exalted place where I could spend all of eternity and I could forget about those people who have rebelled against me. He said, even though I have this lofty position, I'm going to step out of heaven and down to earth to live among men, to humble myself, and to become obedient, even to the point of death. And today it says that if we are a follower of God, what we need to do is we need to take our hearts and we need to humble them before the mighty hand of God, and allow Him to work in us and through us, to have that mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus, to think like Christ did, that we need to, for the sake of those around us, for the sake of the world, humble ourselves. That was something that working at children's camp, and many of you in your jobs and your ministries and things that you do, I often said to myself, if I'm serving Jesus Christ, this is all worth it. And many of you that work with children in the medical field, you understand what I'm talking about. When something comes up and you look at yourself and you say, I don't know if I want to do this. But when you say, I'm doing this to serve the Lord, this is not beneath me, and I'll do it for Christ. Maybe today you're sitting there in your seat and you kind of are thinking about your life and evaluating where you're at. and these questions come up. Are you willing to humble yourself for the work of Jesus Christ? To lay aside your desire, your passion, and to lower yourself to be able to serve the Lord. You see what it says in here in Psalm 138, verse 6? It says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. I want a relationship with the Lord. I want to know him intimately, and I hope you do too. And as I read this passage of scripture, places like Philippians chapter 2 and James chapter 4, I understand that God is looking for humble hearts. People that would lay aside their own desires and ambitions and be willing to humble themselves for the sake of Jesus Christ. Maybe God's asking you to do something for Him. To serve you in a way that maybe you think's beneath. There are so many ways, so many ministries out there, things that you can do to humble yourself and to be able to serve the Lord. It says, let's turn over in James chapter 4. Let's read right out of James. I love the book of James. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, one of the first things I did is I wanted to do a Bible study. I grabbed a little book, a Bible study about the book of James. And me and a friend, we went through and we studied the book of James together. And ever since then, I've loved Bible study and getting into God's Word and studying it and get to know it better. But James chapter 4. Verses 6 to 10. It's maybe one of those scriptures that we ought to commit to memory also. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's have that proper, humble relationship. As we stand before God, as we serve Him, as we live our lives, not try to think of ourselves too lofty, but to humble ourselves before our God. Also, let's clothe ourselves in humility. Let's turn over in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's read verses 5 to 7. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. As we look through the scriptures, we see so often that God is looking, craving a relationship with those who are willing to humble themselves before him and that He will take the humble of this world, and He will raise them up, and He will exalt them, because that's the kind of people He's looking for to rule and reign with Him through all of eternity. And I want that intimate relationship with a Jesus Christ who is willing to step out of heaven, to come to this earth, and to live and die for me. And so I will humble myself. And I hope that's your heart's desire, especially as you read these scriptures, that you will humble yourself, clothe yourself in humility, and live for Christ, so that one day He will exalt you. Knowing the past, and as we look for our future, not only as we live our future lives, should we look and desire to be clothed with humility, to humble ourselves before God, but we also need to understand that as we face the tough trials and situations of this life, that God will be with us in the times of trial. It says there, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Psalm 23, verse 4. We all know Psalm 23, and we've heard it so many times, but I think it fits what we are reading in Psalm 138. I'd like us to turn back over to Psalm 138, and I would like to focus in on verse 7 and just kind of look at that passage for a minute. It says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me." Psalm 138 and verse 7. If you're going through something in your life and you're struggling and you're worried about the future, you know that God has been faithful in the past, but as you look to the future and you find yourself a little bit apprehensive about it, take a pen or a highlighter and underline or highlight Psalm 138 in verse 7 and get the visual picture of what God is saying here. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me." I wrote it up there. A right-handed God strikes with the left and saves with the right. Get that visual picture in your mind. Me personally, when I think about the salvation of the Lord, whether it be salvation from sin and death and hell, whether it be salvation from trials placed on us by an enemy, whether it be salvation from the consequences of the things that we have brought in our own life, physical ailments, social struggles, I picture us hanging on a cliff with the valley of the shadow of death behind us. And our fingers are beginning to give way. Isn't that kind of what you picture here in this passage? And then our God comes along as our enemy is standing at the top of the cliff, sword drawn. I love what this passage says. With God's right hand, His strong hand, our right-handed God said, "I will reach down and I will save you with my right hand." And it says also in there, "You will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies." And God just says, your enemies, the problems of this world, I'll just take them on with my left hand. You know, I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you the attention of my strong hand. And that's what I will use to save you. But the problems of this world, they're nothing for me. While I have my attention and my strength towards saving you, the problems and the things that you think are so big and so difficult, I'll just fight them off with my left hand here. I'll take care of those enemies. I'll take care of those problems, those trials of this life. And with my strong hand, I'm going to reach down and I am going to lift you up. I have been faithful to you in the past. In your future, I'll be there when you need me the most. And that's what God is faithful to do. Our God is an amazing God. And it says there in verse 8, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. God has invested in us. He created us. He loved us. He allowed us to follow sin. But in the midst of our sin, He sent His Son, who stepped down out of heaven to die for us, to die on a cross, to shed His blood on our behalf. He has that much invested in us, He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone. He cares too much about His creation. He loved us enough to hang on a cross, to redeem us, and He's not going to stop until He's finished that work. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And as we wrap things up this morning, let's consider Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I think I've got it up there, yep. God created us. He will not forsake us. I love Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know what's in front of you and in your future, but I'm guessing that the problems that you're facing now, or you will face in your near future, are probably a whole lot scarier and a whole lot more frightening than that roller coaster 14-year-old me was looking up at and going, nuh-uh. Probably the things that we're going to face in our life are a whole lot more scarier than that. But we know and are confident that we have a God who with His right hand is ready to save us, and with His left hand takes care of all those problems that we don't think that we can face. He created us, He loved us, He died us for us. He wants to redeem this world and redeem you. And if we are humble before Him, clothed ourselves in humility, and draw near to Him, we can be confident about our future. That He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that last part right there is what we're so looking for. The day of Jesus Christ. And the work is complete. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your right hand ready to save. I thank You for the left hand protecting us and reaching out to strike our enemies, to strike our problems. And Lord, to You, the problems that we face are just another way that You can prove Yourself faithful. Lead us, protect us, and guide us. We know what You've done in the past. We know that You are faithful. Might You finish the good work that You've started in us. And Lord, bless us, protect us, and help us to follow You. Might we give You the praise and the glory as we see You work and as we see You do great things. May the testimonies of our mouth give praise to what You are doing. In Your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.